Blog Talk Radio.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
Well, good afternoon, all you beautiful, bright diamonds in the sky, wherever you are on the planet. We are welcoming you today to shine up that beautiful diamond of your heart and soul as much as you can with all your love, and we're going to help you out a little bit more with the My Beauty Angel Show today, coming to you live. We've got myself, Audrey Quinn, your host, and my co-host, Cindy Herman, all the way
Hello.
From Chicago. Hi, Cindy. Cindy's in Chicago where it's a beautiful day, right, Cindy?
Mm-hmm. Nice and sunny.
And it's sunny here in Dallas, so I'm so grateful to Mother Nature and all the gods for the beautiful weather that we're having. The sun goddess, thank you, sun goddess. We love you and appreciate. And you're all in for a very special treat today because our special guest is Steve Gamlin. That's G-A-M-L-I-N. He is the creator and the founder of SteveGamlin.com. Motivational Firewood is the name of his company, Motivational Firewood. So I guarantee you, you'll be all fired up today when you call in. And our call-in number is 347-237-5339. And be sure to press 1 if you'd like to say hello and ask Steve any questions about your life or any inspirational bites that you need to, for food for thought or inspiration in your life. Steve, I'm sure will be able to help you because for many, many years he's been traveling around the country promoting motivational firewood and helping people live their life with greater celebration and greater focus and getting all fired up with that firewood. I did want to say, Cindy is my co-host, and she's also a fabulous author herself. She is the author of To Feel is to Heal, which is found on Amazon.com. And I can be reached at MyBeautyAngel.com, just how it sounds, MyBeautyAngel.com. If you need help with spiritual beauty on the inside or the outside physically or any kind of beauty coaching, I'm happy to help you. We all can help you. Steve can help you. Visit his website, inspiredbysteve.com. And let me tell you a little bit more about Steve before we bring him on here in a second. Steve Gamlin is an award-winning professional speaker, entertainer, and author. In November of 2008, he was awarded first place in the Toastmasters District 45 Humorously Speaking Competition. Ooh, I love it. Laughter is best, isn't it? Maybe he'll give us some good giggles today, huh, Cindy?
Hope so, we can use them.
We always need more laughter in the planet.
Yes.
Steve's books include 20 to Life in a Good Way, Oh Yay, another quote book. I love that, Oh Yay, I say yay. If anybody knows me on Facebook, I say it all day long. Yay, yay. Bust Out of Your Crate, featuring the Super Teddy, the one and only precious pup, Super Teddy Maximus. He is adorable. He's not going to be able to make it today. He was booked up with another appearance, so he's not going to be fiercely barking in your ears today. I'm sorry to disappoint you all, because Super Teddy has got a fierce bark from what Steve has informed me. Mm-hmm. But he's a sweet little dog with a big message of love and has a fabulous little book called Bust Out of Your Crate, Super Teddy's Top 20 Tips for People to Be as Happy as Dogs. Woof, woof. We love that. So we're sorry you couldn't make it, Super Teddy, but you're here in spirit with us, right?
Oh, yeah.
So over the last 20 years, Steve has enjoyed life as a professional speaker, radio personality, DJ, and a stand-up comic, which all goes against the grain of his childhood. He was a real shy child with a very little self-confidence, but not now. Look out, planet. Look out, world. Having enjoyed great highs and some scary lows, sounds like the roller coaster. I think we're familiar with that, right, Cindy?
Mm, you bet.
Steve now speaks candidly on all areas of his life, mixed with humor to show that we can all discover and sing our own unique song, our own tune, you know, our own beat of the drum. And we are going to bring Steve on now. We do want to encourage you callers to don't be shy. Feel free to call in 347-237-5339. Once again, this is Greater Good Ministries. It's a spiritual radio show where we celebrate your life and you and your gifts. And I'm sure there's several listeners out there that would be a great guest on our show as well. So don't be shy to inquire within, and also you can find us on Facebook, My Beauty Angel, and like the page and email me there if you'd like to be a guest like Steve is now today on our show. All the way from New Hampshire, the beautiful New Hampshire, which I haven't been to, which I really love to see, I'm bringing on Mr. Steve Gamlin. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Audrey. Hello, Cindy. It's great to be here with you today.
Thank you. So glad to have you.
Thank you.
And yes, New Hampshire is gorgeous.
Is the sun out today, too?
The sun is out today, although yesterday, you know, welcome to spring in New England. Like they say, if you don't like the weather, wait 15 minutes, it'll change. We had rain, snow, sleet, and hail. Oh. All in about a three-hour period around lunchtime yesterday. I think Mother Nature was test driving the post office, see if they still do all four forms of weather and still deliver.
That's
and they did, I'll bet, being a former post office employee myself.
So, Steve, tell us more about Motivational Firewood. Like, when did you start it? Why did you start it? And where do you go from here for all our listeners that need that to get fired up and need that motivational assistance with someone as gifted as you to help them on their journey?
I started up with Motivational Firewood just about 10 years ago. At that time, I had just wrapped up a 10-year radio career. I just basically bailed out. After 10 years on the radio, I was burned out. I was exhausted emotionally, physically, mentally. And in a very short period of time, I walked away from a perfectly successful career without another job, went through a divorce, and found out I was $65,000 in debt with really nowhere to live. And I just kind of crawled back home to family, moved into my dad's house at the time. And I was, 35 years old at the time. And I had been on a major personal development journey for about 10, 11 years at that point. Bought all the books, spent a lot of money on speakers who said they could change my life and were lying to me. And I finally figured out that hitting rock bottom and being, you know, sitting in the ashes of the fire, it was the only person really responsible for making my life better. It is me. It at least has to start with me.
Mm-hmm.
Speakers can provide information, speakers can provide motivation, inspiration, stuff like that, but they can't change your lives. So I finally decided after a lot of journaling, which I've been doing for about 23 years now, I just basically spent about a year tearing my life down and examining it, examining everything I had done with it, thinking things had been fine when really I'd been on a downward spiral for a while. And that's when I kind of got the idea, and I said, I go read these books. Books can't change your lives. I go hear these speakers that say they can change my life. Well, they're lying. Speakers can't change your lives. Books can't change your lives. CDs, DVDs, they can't change your life. What you have within you is a spark. And hopefully you know where you want your life to be, not just better or faster or brighter or more money, but you have to know exactly where you want to be. And then what you have to do is invite in the right information that gets you fired up and gets you pointing in the right direction that you can take actionable steps with. So what I tell all my audiences right up front is, look, I can't change your life. I can give you some information that, when combined with the spark in your heart, might cause you to wake up tomorrow a little bit differently and look in the mirror at yourself a little bit differently and realize you can actually get somewhere. And it's overwhelming. What some speakers will tell you is, okay, you got to take massive change suddenly and, you know, just radically change your life. Well, guess what? Most of us don't read 400-page books. Most of us won't change our lives overnight. Mm-hmm. My whole thing is take these little steps every day and invite the right people and bring in the right motivational firewood. And I just said it as a joke one day. I said, all I provide really is motivational firewood. And, you know, somebody overheard me say it, and they really liked the phrase, so I've trademarked it. And I've been the owner of it ever since. And that's my whole message. And I look right at the HR people who are paying me sometimes when I speak for big companies. I get up and I say, hi, my name is Steve. I'm a professional speaker, and I can't change your lives one bit. Don't tear up my check. I'll spend the next 59 and a half minutes telling you good things, but let me say that right up front. I can't change your lives. If you're looking for me to do that for you, A, I can't, and B, if I could, I'd charge a lot more than I'm charging now.
Right. The miracle worker, right?
Oh, gosh. So many people look at the gurus for that, and they're not.
Well,
I'm just a regular, everyday blue-collar guy who's crashed and burned his life over and over. I don't mind talking about it once I've fixed it. That's all I can do.
And who is your audience? You're going around speaking to hundreds of folks lately, I know, because we've had a little chat about it. Tell us who some of your audience is and, you know, for what types of events are you providing leadership and facilitating the motivation for these folks?
A lot of what I've been doing lately, in the last 3, 4, 5 months, is working very heavily in the real estate industry. Here throughout New England, I've been working with a particular company, Keller Williams, who I absolutely respect their mission. I love what they're all about. And like everything else, a chance meeting one day. I was at a golf tournament measuring how far people could hit a marshmallow with a golf club. And somebody asked me, what the heck are you doing here? So I proudly said, I'm here to measure how far people can whack a marshmallow with a golf club. And I kept making her laugh. And she says, I've got to ask, what do you do for a living? And I told her I'm a speaker, and I work with people to help find their unique song and share it with the world as loudly or as quietly as they want, but they have to know their song. And she asked if I had a card. And a year and 4 months later, she became my biggest client to date. And I've done 3 locations here in the New England area, and we're actually just about to begin a marketing program to try to put together a national tour of Keller Williams offices and work with them with vision boards and goal settings and taking action and really mapping out the dream lives. What I try to tell people is I'm the speaker who's kind of in between the real, genuine human beings sitting in your chairs and driving around in your vehicles in those big goals that you have on the wall. I come in between that, between the big goals and between the real actions everyday people have to take. So the real estate industry has been very, very good for me. I also do a lot of work with women-based organizations, or primarily women-based organizations. Most of my audience, I'd say 65 to 70%, is generally female, which I absolutely love, because then I get to be a very sensitive, emotional, storytelling person who doesn't hide behind any big, tough persona. I'm just me. So we've been doing a lot of work. Leah Sophia, the jewelry company, is one of my bigger clients here in New England. I've done several events for them. And working on getting into some professional women's organizations as well. I've done those throughout New England, and looking to get it up to the national level as well for some of the larger conferences.
Marvelous.
Awesome.
If I were to come to you and say,
I don't know what my mission is, my purpose. How do I find it? What are the basics
the first
you
step.
Start with there? Because I bet a lot yep. of our audience is thinking, well, that's me. I still haven't found what my real passion is.
Oh, yeah. What I tell people, the first step, and this is the easiest one, before you read a book, before you see a speaker, before you do anything else, this is what I recommend. You turn off your phone. You turn off anything electronic, which they're getting smarter and smarter and taking up more and more of our time. Shut off everything electronic. Go somewhere where you're either not familiar with the place so you won't get distracted by, you know, common everyday things, or just go somewhere very quiet with four tools. Pen, paper, heart, mind. And I say pen versus pencil because people write things in pencil and all of a sudden they realize, well, I can't do that, and they erase it. Pen, paper, heart, mind. I want you to sit and with no rules at all governing what you can dream of, write down exactly what you would like your life to look like, feel like, sound like, smell like. What would be the ultimate version of your life? And sometimes people say, I don't know what I want, but I know what I don't want. Maybe they've been putting up with a bad relationship. I don't want somebody who's verbally abusive to me. Okay, write that in the positive. I want someone who, I want to be in a relationship with someone who values me, who hears me, who loves me, who adores me. You know, oh, I hate the job I currently have. Wonderful. That's a good place to be. Hating something is a great place to be because you know you want something different. What would be the job that if you could do it every day would make you happy? What about the job would make you happy? Because sometimes it's not a particular job, but it's a task that you enjoy. You know, I want to be this because it allows me to do this. You like being around people? Great. Don't get a job that locks you in a basement office with a calculator all day. What organizations do you like to be a part of? Do you want to be more charitable? Great. Hang out with the people who are already being charitable. You know, so many people want these things in their life, but they're not setting themselves up to be a part of them. You know, it's like the, you know, I was single 10 years ago right after my divorce and very briefly put a little post up online on one of the singles dating websites and had a couple of conversations with people who said, well, I'm sick and tired of finding the same type of person all the time. I want somebody who's this and this and this. I said, well, fine. Where have you been looking? Oh, I've been at the bar. Oh. If you want somebody who's fun and likes to party and be around people, hey, wonderful. Bars are great places. But if you're looking for that super generous, loving, you know, kind of quiet person, stop looking at the bar. You know, I love people who like to volunteer. So what did I do? I became a volunteer. Mm-hmm. I get to be on the journey with Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, a couple of homeless shelters in this area, do the Relay for Life for you know, cancer research in the spring. You hang around with the people that you want to be like. And pen, paper, heart, and mind is where you start to draw the map. Otherwise, life is so distracting, and you become a pinball, bouncing from thing to thing. You've got to know who you want to be, where you want to be, and who you want to have around you before you can take any other steps.
Gee, that's wonderful and so clear. And I love the idea about the volunteering because I believe, and I think science is validating it more and more, that really the highest joy we're looking for comes in the act of service when we're helping someone else. And so if a person simply came from that place of, okay, I'm looking for more happiness, why don't I start by donating some of my time here or there? That the endorphins that happen from us doing it, the person who's receiving it, anyone observing the act all gets this flush of endorphins. So from that high consciousness place that you're in, something's going to transpire from that. A person, a door opening, the next good thing will open up in your lives if one just began one's journey from a place of, okay, three or four times a week, I'm just going to find a place to give somewhere, give myself for my time. And from that goodness could only come more goodness.
Oh, yeah, and you say, you know, figuratively, opening a door. Literally, I talk to people who say, look, I don't have money to give. I don't really have a lot of time. I'm so busy. And I say, that's great, no problem. Next time you go to the bank or go to the post office or somewhere that doesn't have the automatic doors. Stand there and hold the door open for someone. And
yeah.
when they say, oh, thank you, don't look at your shoes and say, oh, it's nothing. Look them right in the eye and say, you're welcome, and I hope you have a great day today. And we live in a small town here. We can't even afford a post office. We have one flashing yellow traffic light, and we have one gas pump. So we have to go to the town next door to get our mail. And now people say, oh, how small is that town? My P.O. box number there is 5. It's a small area. And we have one set of doors after a 25-foot sidewalk, one set of glass doors. It's the ATM lobby because the bank and post office share a building. Open that, there's another set of glass doors, and that goes into the main lobby, go right to the bank, left to the post office. I love just standing there holding the door for people and making them laugh. And two of them came in together, and I said, boy, you're lucky there wasn't 3 of you. And they said, well, why? I said, because after 3 people in New Hampshire, legally, I can put out a tip jar, so you're all set. Now, they walk in laughing. I walk out laughing. I was having a bad day up till then. Now I'm smiling.
Yeah, it's those random acts of kindness.
Yes.
And that's what it is. It's all random. It doesn't. You can't use the excuse, oh, I don't have the time and the money. That's a cop-out, in my opinion.
Yes.
This is called tough love we're speaking of here. And if you want to attract love, you've got to be love, right, Stevenson?
That's it.
You've got to be the love that you seek. And there's also the saying, know thyself before all others. Because you cannot attract something to you that you're not. I mean, in order to be, to attract the right person, we've got to be the right person.
Mm-hmm.
To be unconditionally loving and accepting and caring and kindness and philanthropic and, you know, all those little things, smiling or helping somebody, you know, or opening the door for some elderly person. Maybe they're trying to get in their door, you know, and they're struggling to get their groceries in. And you notice, well, you noticed it for a reason. God put it there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And of course, in Miracle says, all giving is to ourselves, since there's only one of us here. If we come from that highest consciousness, which is there's really only one of us here, we appear as many faces, but it's all just different facets of the body of the Christ, the Buddha, the Muhammad, just the enlightened being, which all of us collectively are on earth here, then if we come from that place, then we recognize if I want to draw someone to me who talks nice to me and is sweet to me, then I have to start talking nice to myself and being sweet to myself. Because the frequency of what we can draw in is only a measure of what we are already vibrating at. And I bet you say that, Steve. I bet you get that across to them, that so many of the things they're looking for is really things that they're not giving themselves, issues first inside themselves. And when they begin that self-love inside themselves, then just automatically it comes into the picture.
Yes, and I've been doing for the last year or two a lot of work with the state of New Hampshire and state of Massachusetts unemployment networking groups. And having been unemployed myself a couple of times during my radio career, that is not the easiest time in the world. And I'm going to be a little sexist here and say, especially for the guys. We take so much of our pride from our work and our career. And when that's taken away from us, we beat ourselves up pretty badly. And I tell them right up front, hey, you're going to have days where you hate to look in the mirror. And you're going to feel worthless, and you're going to feel this, and you're going to feel that. And guess what? It's normal. Get over it. You know, there's something great about you. I ask people, how long were you with your last company? 18 years, 27 years. Great. You know why? Because there's something great about you. And something happened to upset that apple cart, and that means there's another opportunity out there, but you're not going to get it if you keep bashing yourself for losing the last one.
Yes.
Carrying
less of yourself.
Mm-hmm. And when one door closes, another one opens, and it's time for us to move on and graduate from, you know, and onward and upward, and we maintain our positivity. Sometimes, you know, we were connected for a time to that particular employer, and it's just time, God, our angel spirit, everybody's got a place to be for a certain length of time, and then they graduate their soul. It's development and evolution in order for us to grow, because sometimes we'll just stay there until a company is sold or something and be maybe stagnant for a while, and then the new challenge comes along to challenge us to rise above any of our circumstances, and that we're not our job. I learned that. I've been laid off a few times, like you, Steve. My lesson was, I didn't lose my identity. You know, I'm not going to lose my identity. I'm not my job. At the time, I thought my self-esteem was shot and down in flames, and I thought, oh my gosh, I lost my job, and what do I do now? I'm so depressed, and how do you? And then it comes across in the interviews, and your energy's bad and negative, and oh my gosh, she's a Debbie Downer. Why would I want to hire her? She's just a Debbie Downer. You know, the energy's not there, so you have to really put on the actress cap and pretend like, you know, everything's great, and, you know, I mean, act as if, and it shall be, act as if you already have that, that divine, perfect, not perfect, but, you know, that ideal situation, you know, that
right.
we want to have in our life, right? Do you talk about that, Steve, how to manifest?
I do, yeah. I do a lot of work with people with vision boards, which is the next step after the pen, paper, heart, and mind is, all right, you described what you want it to be like. Well, go find pictures of people who are already living it and feel what they feel. See how happy the people are who already have what you've got. And then ask them how they did it, because truly successful people will tell you. I've been speaking now for 8 years. I just got in the last week and a half, three people who were acquaintances of friends of mine who say, well, and one of them did, literally, he just got fired from his job. And his wife said, this is the sign that you needed. This is what you needed to happen to pursue your speaking career. Go find a speaker who's doing it and ask him how he did it. And he reached out to me. And I just had a meeting with him yesterday morning. And I brought him to a Toastmasters meeting and said, hey, this is where I started. Let's get you into here, learn what I learned, and I'll help you too. Just be around the people who are doing it and ask them how they did it, because truly successful people will tell you. I don't see them as competition. I see them as somebody else that I think is pretty cool and has a good message that I can climb the mountain with. I don't see competition. I see friends.
And it's called OPE, Other People's Experience. And we can learn so much when we're open. It's when we're closed-minded that we're blocking ourselves. You can't think we know it all, even though we've read a million books, been there, done that, got all the T-shirts. It is such right? It's death. It's a death. It's the kiss of death. Your soul, you're hurting yourself and I know, because I've done it in the past, where I thought, well, I already read every book on the law of attraction that existed. I've Harvey McKay, I've been to all the seminars, Lou Holtz, Brian Tracy, met them all, been there, done that, all the top spiritual. And you know what? I'm still learning. I'm learning right now from Steve Gamlin of Motivational Firewood, who I didn't know was around a month ago.
And I had to laugh when you said T-shirts. Here I am in my recording studio looking at one of my own T-shirts that I created years ago. And all it says, somebody said something about tourist traps. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, I'm going to create my own T-shirt that says, I went to hear Steve Gamlin speak, and all I got was inspired. And right when you said T-shirt, I looked right at it, and I said, oh, I got to share that.
Yeah, I love it. It's wonderful when people inspire you. You can't say that everybody might, they might have some parallels, you know, different people, different teachers and facilitators and inspirational speakers like yourself. But we all have parallels. Well, that tells you something, that we're not making up stories. If all of it's kind of paralleling, isn't that a bright flag of that it's a good, that it works then, right? That we're not fluffing people up and, like you said, promising, over-promising and under-delivering. There's something right about what we're saying, you know, because other people have kind of taught it in their own life, from their own self-expressive way, right? Like, you've got your own style, Steve, which is authentic and kind and funny. And, you know, we want to talk about Super Teddy here in a minute, too. One thing I wanted to throw out there before I forget, if you want to jot this down, Steve, I used to belong to a group, Executive Women International, and it's a philanthropic organization, and because you mentioned you wanted to do more work with women. And that is a huge, it's a worldwide organization and for women business professionals and with a philanthropic focus, right? They're always doing for all the different charities, and the list goes on, and they are looking to grow and have speakers like yourself that would help them, you know, share your own motivational firewood gifts. So just something,
wonderful.
I don't know if you've heard of them, but I used to belong to them. It's a wonderful, very strong organization. You could Google them up, Executive Women International.
Oh, I certainly appreciate that. They sound a lot like Altrusa, who is an organization I have spoken for. Been around over 100 years, very, very philanthropic, and I absolutely adore their mission. I love what they're doing.
Awesome. And, you know, you mentioned something I have to say about Cindy. You know, Cindy's an author of To Feel is to Heal, and I kept hearing you say, feel, to feel. It's a feeling.
Yes.
And it is all a feeling, isn't it, Cindy? Can you real quick?
Oh, absolutely. I think we often say it's our thoughts create our reality and all those things. And yes, they're an influence, but far greater, because the brain is really, our conscious mind is only about 10% of what we are. We're mainly about 90% subconscious, which is our flesh, and it's all the experiences we've ever had. And so I can say forever in my mind, I am successful, I am successful, I am successful. But if my experience has been over lifetimes of non-success, that's what's being broadcast out of our flesh, and so that's what's being drawn to us. So, yes, to generate the feeling, be aware that we have this past that we're carrying with us and find ways to move that out. My book will help. Any book that helps with emotional discharge and release will help divest ourselves of the past that is working to subconscious, quietly, silently, to sabotage all of our efforts. But then is when you go after the positive, to really bring it from the brain to a flesh place, a heat in the chest, a tingling in the fingers, that place where we really know we're at home from the center of our torso. So I like, too, that you use the word feeling a lot with people, because that's the key.
Right, we need to feel it, and then we feel it, and it becomes a reality, you know, the feeling, that those good feelings and peaceful feelings of being content and happy that we're helping other people, we're philanthropic, we're making the world, making a difference, even in a random act, a smile, as you said, holding open the door for the folks, like Steve said. So, Steve, I got a question for you. So who has been your big, you know, we all have our inspirational heroes out there that shape our life and get us fired up. Who's inspired you?
My biggest inspiration, the person that's had the most effect on my life, is actually one of my best friends, my friend Danny. Just over 20 years ago, I had just graduated college, barely, which my dad loves to refer to as graduating summa cum this close. I came within 62 one-thousandths of a point from not graduating college, so I barely made it. Didn't want to use the business degree that I had earned, and within 2 years of that time, so by the time I was 24 years old, was living on my grandfather's couch, pretty broke and depressed, and really was just barely making it through each day. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I just knew I was miserable. And my friend Danny kept asking me, because he knew that since the age of 9, I had wanted to be on the radio.
Oh.
Ever since I first saw WKRP in Cincinnati and saw this guy named Dr. Johnny Fever, you know, wearing jeans and T-shirts and sunglasses indoors and longish hair and scruff a beard and getting paid to play records, I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. So when I was 9, that's what I wanted to do. And the real world and real life gets in the way, and I went off on this path and veered away. Well, My friend Danny kept asking me, why didn't you ever do it? Why didn't you do it? The happiest I've ever seen you is when you were talking about your dream of being on the radio, and now you're miserable. So, way to go. You're not following your dream. And I honestly wish I could remember exactly what triggered it, but probably just hearing it enough that I wasn't living my dream. And he kept saying, you know, if you've got these great friends who say, you should do this, you'd be great at it. When we doubt ourselves, we have to remember that these people see something in us that we don't. Mm-hmm. And I finally listened. In the summer of 1992, I borrowed $4,000 from the grandfather whose couch I was living on, broke. Like, where was he going to get that money back? Went to broadcast school near Boston. Didn't see Danny all summer because I lived in Boston. Got my first radio internship in August of 92, which is basically working a couple days a week for free at a radio station that I'd grown up listening to. And I drove down to Danny's house a couple weeks later, and I said, hey, man, haven't seen you all summer. Let me just update you. I'm working at this particular radio station that we grew up listening to. And he was so happy and he was so proud, big high five and a hug. And, you know, we're saying, well, we got to catch up. We got to spend more time together. And 2 weeks later, we did. Because me and a couple other friends basically camped out for 7 days and nights in Danny's hospital room as he died of cancer at age 23. And I was holding his hand when he passed.
Aww.
That was the beginning of the career that was following my dream because somebody who cared kicked me in the butt hard enough to go chase it.
Mm.
And it took a long time to get the message. I mean, I did radio for 10 years. One of the last things I did in radio was emceeing a concert we had put together, the radio station I worked at by that time. 15,000 people were there in attendance, and I got to be on stage introducing some rock stars who had become friends. And I just remember looking up saying, can you believe what 10 years has brought me? And that was kind of my swan song of radio. I quit shortly after. But that one friend, you know, it's not always someone famous that inspires us. It was a friend who cared.
Oh, no.
And he hung around just long enough for it to actually happen. And I still talk to him. I look up and talk to him a lot. And I smile up and I say, thanks for kicking me in the butt, my friend. And my sister found the last photograph ever taken of me and Danny together, and I use it a lot in my presentations when I ask people what their story is. And I always end it by saying, you know, there are three things I really, really miss. Is obviously my friend Danny, who I miss every day. I miss that simpler time of just being able to, bang, change your life in another direction. But what I miss most is, you know, in looking at the picture, I know you can't see it now, is the ability to wear horizontally striped shirts. I miss that a lot. I'm rocking the verticals now because, as you know, some women told me, they are slimming, which is great.
I love it. Oh my gosh, he's your angel. Danny's been your inspirational beauty angel. You know, you've the beauty of your dream, the beauty of your life, your soul, your spirit, and Danny is the beauty angel to you. That's awesome. I love this. It brought a tear to my eye, actually. I want to take a caller who's been real patient. We have a caller, Steve, that is calling in from area code 209. Let's go ahead and take caller. You're on the air with the My Beauty Angel Show and Steve Gamlin.
Hi, Audrey. This is Ann Dandridge from Powerful People and Friends.
Oh, hello, Ann. Welcome.
I heard talking about his friend Danny, and there are a lot of people who are powerful in our lives to make us go ahead with our dreams. And I know he will always remember him. And I thank you for that story, Steve.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling. I appreciate that.
Yes. Ann, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Would you mention, I appreciate you calling in, because Ann is one of my dear friends, and she has a beautiful network of powerful people and friends. It can be Googled, right? Ann, can you tell us all how we can all become? I'm part of her network, and she has amazing, amazing people from all walks of life. And I'm sure you've all heard of the Dorothy Dandridge. That's where Ann gets her name from. And Ann's been a very well-known publicist in publicist in Hollywood.
Yeah, Steve, one of my clients was Anthony Robbins. When I
I tell you, he's the one that got me started on my journey of journaling 23 years ago after I saw him at 2 a.m. on his infomercial.
All right. But Tony Robbins, I met him in his early career when he had his clients walking on fire, which he still has some of them do that today. But he was very energetic. His voice was very powerful. He helped people to become powerful. And so that's why when I met him, I had 250 stars to book for this client. They had 250 stars, and I included Anthony Robbins in the group for various television shows.
Wonderful.
On Powerful People, also, I hope you become a member. Audrey's a member, because the people are from all over the world representing different organizations. So I hope you Google Powerful People and Friends and join us. It's for free and it's wonderful.
Yes, it's, what is there, 1,500, how many, you have close to 1,500 members now, Anne?
Yeah, 1,500 members, but since many of them are organizations, one person represents 30,000 people.
Oh, right. Oh. Okay, I forgot about, I wasn't aware. Thank you for bringing that to my awareness again.
But
wow.
I love your show, and I love your client on today. I look forward to hearing more stories, Steve.
Well, thank you so much, Anne. I appreciate that, and I did write down your name and Powerful People. And when we're done with the show, I am definitely going to look you up. I certainly appreciate that.
All right. I will be listening.
Thank you,
Anne. Lots of love and hugs to you, dear. Love you.
Okay, bye-bye.
She is awesome. She's a very dynamic woman who's very well connected. And I wasn't sure that was her. That caught me off guard because I thought I knew 209, but I wasn't sure. So it was a wonderful surprise. Thank you, Anne. We love you. So I must ask because...
Oh, could I jump in and ask
a question? Go ahead,
Cindy. Yes, Steve, it occurs to me another wonderful thing happens with motivational speakers, and that is when someone goes through, as you said, you really... burned out. You really got to the bottom of that fire, and then the phoenix arose, the true you, from the facing, not the skirting, not eschewing, but actually walking through the darkness in your life. And when you arose up out of that difficulty, you were more fully defined as yourself. And when a person has had those experiences, it's in their voice. It's in their flesh. Your spark had been lit in you. And I know when I used to live in the Muktananda ashram, he talked so much about, you know, start that spark in you that then will start the spark in others. And no, you could stand up there and read the phone book, and you're doing far more than that.
And there are speakers who I feel that way about. Jack Canfield and Tony Robbins are two of my favorites. And I could listen to them literally read the phone book, and I would be excited to call, you know, John K. Smith after that.
And it's because the what they have been through, it isn't just their information that resides up in their brain. What their flesh has experienced over lifetimes of the strength to face their own adversity, no longer be a victim, take responsibility for their lives, that is a high frequency that to other people's cells we resonate with. Our cells go, ooh, ooh, what's that? Oh, what's that neat feeling? Oh, I want more of that. And it's like a magnet. It just pulls people toward us. And their highest knowing, our cells are conscious. Our flesh is conscious. And it has a sense, this is what I want. I'm rising now. I'm in the presence of something. It's like a sound bath of healing, a massage. And the cells are going, oh, this is so good. I don't want it to end. I'm being fed by this. And all this is unspoken, and we're not aware of it. But the real transformation, not only in your words, but is your presence. And what a joy to know that when you stand there, whether you're opening a door or buying stamps. And isn't that the greatest goal, that if we can purify ourselves and get to the place of being more of the light of who we are, wherever we walk can make a difference.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I love that you said the phoenix. One of my favorite keynote speeches is called, Some Days Your Phoenix Rides a Pogo Stick. Meaning that just because we fell in the fire and we climb out doesn't mean we're not going to fall back in the fire again someday.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it.
So I always, yeah. I'll tell people at the end of the events, you know, stand up, look to your left, look to your right. Now, look down at your behind. How are your tail feathers looking? Are they as beautiful as they've ever been because you haven't dared to risk falling in the fire? Or are they singed off and are they growing back? Are they growing back more beautiful? Where are you at? Because some people want something, but they're not willing to risk anything to even take a step.
Yes.
And
wow.
Boy, I don't want to regret not doing something. When I'm 85, 90 years old, sitting on my front porch, I just want to be a whole bunch of scars. And I tell people, I say, look, my face ain't pretty, but it tells a story. I ran into the light face first over and over. You know, fall back in the fire, you know what? You just keep coming back stronger, and you just tell a good story that other people can really honestly relate to because they've walked it.
That's it. Okay. Yes, Johnny Cash was so effective because he'd been in prison. So when he sang these songs to the men in prison, and he talked about what for him was working was, a Christianity, and that's fine, and that helped the men in the prison. It gave them a hope. It gave them a purpose and an alignment with something greater than themselves. But if he just would have been a therapist coming in without having gone through the scars of being in prison, the men wouldn't respond to this positively.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I open up a lot of my events by I ask people if they'll mind helping me with something. I say, I want to take you on a journey of one of the first and worst speakers I ever saw, so I need you all to clap. And they start rolling their eyes and laughing. And so I say three things, and they all rhyme. And I, at the end of each one, I say, right? And they say, right. And the third thing I say is, if your life is rough, and I point to the table and I say, buy all my stuff, right? Right. You know, speakers who make you jump up and down and laugh and yell things that rhyme and get that mass hysteria going just so they can sell their books and upsell you to the more important event that's going to change your life. I honestly became a speaker because I was tired of wasting my money on speakers like that. And it'll probably get me beat up backstage someday by one of those speakers, but that's, you know, that's where I come from, that's my heart, and I'll never, ever apologize for being authentic with an audience and not trying to just sell stuff.
Exactly. Ultimately, our highest joy should be watching someone find themselves, find the answer inside themselves, not to give them the answer, but to stay with them while they're finding the answer inside themselves. That rocket that goes off in them goes off inside us, and whew, it's just an exponential high.
Yep. I love when I'm running into, I tell people, I say, look, I'm the same person on this stage today as if you run into me at the grocery store and I'm buying a box of Captain Crunch for breakfast cereal. You see me at the store buying some Captain Crunch Crunch Berries, you come up and talk to me, and I'm going to be the same person as I am right now. So if you see me, I hope you do. And I've just had some incredible conversations in grocery stores, at gas stations, at sporting events, people that saw me speak, and they come over and say, hey, let me tell you what I did. And I say, hey, lay it on me. I would love to hear it. And then I tell those stories to my audiences about these other people who were just like them and were just like where I was, and now they're doing something with their lives that makes them happy. It does not get any better than that.
I agree. As good as it gets. Now, let me ask you this about Super Teddy, this sweet little dog that is your Yorkie Pom, and he's very special, and he was rescued by you. Would you share a little snippet of your little love story with Super Ted?
Sure.
Next.
Super Teddy was born he's almost four, so I think in May he's going to be 4 years old. His mom was a stray down on the streets of New Orleans. Now, this was a couple of years after Hurricane Katrina.
Aww.
And there's such a problem down in the south because there's so many animals down there and they're not big on spaying and neutering, and many of the shelters down there are high kill shelters. I mean, we're talking sometimes 75-80% of animals are killed. Teddy was born on the streets of New Orleans. The rescuers got to him in time to save him, but all his brothers and sisters passed away. His mom lost all the other puppies. So here's this little bundle of fur in the palm of one person's hand who rescued him. And they brought him to a home where he was fostered for a little bit. And then, God bless him, one of these associations, these organizations that goes down south, rescues as many animals as they can and brings them to another part of the country to be adopted, found him. So he was one of the animals that was brought from New Orleans all the way up to New England, up in southern Maine. And my fiance Tina was living up in Vermont at the time, and she got an e-newsletter about this group that had brought a bunch of animals over to Maine, and she saw this picture of a little fuzzball named Maximus. And she and her mom drove all the way from northern Vermont to southern Maine, and I believe the adoption fee was around $700, and they adopted Maximus.
Oh.
And I joked he should be called Minimus because he fit in the palm of your hand. And she named him Teddy.
Too cute.
And about 6 months later, this little fuzzball who was just so, so much energy.
Aww.
He had more sweaters. He owns more sweaters than I do. Well, he was wearing a red sweater that looked like a cape. And the way he was lying down, he had his front paws in front of him and his back
Aww.
Feet behind him. I said, he looks like a superhero. So I started calling him Super Teddy.
Aww.
And then we rediscovered and reattached to the name Maximus. So his full name is Super Teddy Maximus, tiny dog with a huge name. And he's such a personality. And I swear, rescued animals know how close they came.
Oh, yes.
I believe that in my heart. And I would look at him and think, you know, you got you. If you were a cat, you'd be on your ninth life by now. And one day I was up at Tina's in Vermont, and he was in his crate, and I just looked at him, and he was dancing in the crate. And I just looked and literally said, you want to bust out of that crate and have some fun? And it's one of those moments where the clouds part and the light comes through, and you know, you hear the angels sing in the movies, and the music starts. And I thought, bust out of your crate. And I said, I looked at him, and I said, hold that thought. Ran upstairs and wrote down bust out of your crate, and I said, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to come up with things that Super Teddy would tell people on how to be happy. Well, as with the greatest plans in the world, sometimes they don't go well. And 2 weeks later, I only had three ideas. And I told everybody I was writing the book, because that's what I do. I tell everybody my goals so they can hold me to the fire. And someone asked, and I said, the project is over. I've only come up with three ideas. And they said, well, what was it going to be like? And I thought, we got over 200 pictures of Teddy. I'm going to write quotes and come up with a picture to match. And the friend said, well, why don't you look at the pictures and see what quotes they inspire? Mm-hmm. And an hour and a half later, the book was written.
Oh.
So right out of the ashes, that book came back screaming. And a month and a half later, it was printed, and we were selling the first 1,000 copies that came out.
Oh, it's so cute, and I love the 20th tip of the top 20 tips is my favorite photo with his little tongue hanging out and his eyes so big and bright and his little face, and he says, sometimes a smile is all you need for the world to love you.
Yeah, and Tina is the master of getting him to pose with his tongue hanging out and stay like that. It's incredible. He just loves her, and he'll do anything she says. If she says stay with a weird party hat on, he will stay with a weird party hat so she can take the pictures.
And this book can be purchased at stevegamlin.com, right? Steve, GAMLIN.com. Also, Steve can be reached if you have an organization, as we mentioned earlier, or special, you know, where you need someone with his expert professional speaking talent, obviously you're listening to him for a reason, so there are no accidents. It's all synchronicities in life, right, Cindy?
Absolutely.
And so I'm a fan of Super Teddy. He is just a little adorable angel doggy. And I just love all these different people like Steve that are able to come on and inspire and share their stories and be authentic and real as you can, you know?
Mm.
That's the best,
isn't it? Isn't it? Just the best. It's just like music. Your body just feels like it's been dancing after you listen to Steve.
Exactly. Yeah, one book I read once, I don't know, I'm sure you've had inspirational books, Steve, as well, and one book that I, like you, had to go through a lot of fire, you know, to, we all have to go through the fire to be the beautiful, bright diamonds that we are, right, to shine up our diamonds and be so multifaceted. And there was a book, I don't know if you've heard of it, the author Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. Have you ever read that or heard about that one?
I definitely have, yes. That is a legendary book.
It is one of my favorite soul books that helped me do some healing when I first got my hands on it many, many years ago, and, you know, just felt like, okay, I need to, when you read about somebody else, their emotional holocaust that they've been through, that's even 10 times, 20 times, 100 times worse than what you thought yours was, even though I'm not minimizing what our pain was, but it definitely, the gain, don't you think, is that release of those tears. For me, I would just cry for, I cried for what he went through and what his people went through.
Mm-hmm.
And it just,
exactly.
And that's what Cindy teaches and facilitates, how to release those tears. And it's okay to cry, because that's a strength, right, Steve? It's okay.
Of course it is. Of course it is. So many people tell themselves, well, other people have it worse, so I should just shut up and suck
it
up. Well,
so that should make
mine
go away.
There's always someone that's got it worse. Yeah. Acknowledge that you've got pain.
Yeah.
Deal with it as best you can. Call in people that can help you with it, and then go help somebody else to get over theirs. And that's the surefire way to get over what you're dealing with. Help someone else deal with the same thing.
Yes, and, you know, I think that's one of the great services that dogs give us, animals give us. I had a stray come into my yard, and I'm still in the process of finding a home for him. But, you know, we have this limbic brain. It sits right in the middle of our brain, our head. And they have, of course, a limbic brain. And they're so alive with their feelings. It's so clear to them, everything they're feeling. They don't repress it and pretend like that's not their experience. And so when we're in the presence of the dogs and I start to cry, he just cries with me. Oh, it's the most beautiful thing. And so I say to everybody, buddy up, you know, find somebody you can just cry with. Well, mine is this stray that came into my yard presently.
Wow. Yeah, dogs never say, well, I don't want to look too excited to see this person because I don't want to appear desperate.
Right.
Or foolish. Oh, cute. So we are down to our last 2 minutes of the show, and any final words? I mean, once again, this is Greater Good Ministries, and Steve Gamlin has been our wonderful, authentic, just a beauty angel of a guest, a male angel. There are male and female angels out there. That helps people with, you know, their soul evolution and their mission and purpose in their life, and to get fired up, you know. And he has his company, Motivational Firewood. Please be inspired by him and visit his website, inspiredbysteve.com, and check out his books and materials and anything else that you feel attracted to. What else would you like to say in closing, Steve?
I just want to say thank
you. One brief thought. Look at the word
inspired. Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of the show today. And we were meant to run into each other on Facebook for a reason, and here we are.
That's right. Yay! Go ahead, Cindy.
One thought, yes. Is just look at the wonderful word inspire. A spire is what sits at the top of a church and points up to heaven, up to our, you know, cosmic identity, the totality of what we are. And to inspire someone is, you know, to point them to their highest self, to bring that inside oneself. What an offering. What a gift.
Yes. So thank you, Steve, for bringing out your gifts and showing Danny to the love that you are. You know, he inspired you, and you're doing it, you know, and he's watching you, and he's with you every step of the way.
Yeah. Every stage, he's there. And I don't tell stories, I relive them, and one of my mentors taught me the difference.
Oh, yes, yes, to be the story, and then it helps other people relate to their stories and love their own stories more and feel more part of the human family.
Yes.
Yes, and give Steve, Super Teddy a hug from Cindy.
Yes.
I sure will.
Thank you again, Steve. We'll be seeing you on Facebook.
Sounds great. I certainly appreciate it and wish you both the best.
God bless.
Thank you, Ann. You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.